This morning, little things become big things. That's the way that works. There is a philosophy that's rather prevalent in our society that says, don't sweat the small stuff. Well, some small stuff isn't very significant, but some small stuff is very significant. So that kind of thinking is dangerous if it's taken to an extreme. Now certainly, a lot of times when people say that, what they mean is that we shouldn't be worrying about things that aren't that important. Unfortunately, sometimes people are misinformed about what is and isn't important. A lot of times you hear people say Jesus said that the Pharisees' problem was they were concerned about the little things instead of the big things. And it is true that He condemned them for tithing the herbs of the garden and yet not having love and mercy and justice in their repertoire. But the problem with that was, if we stop right there, then we say, oh, well, as long as we love, as long as we have mercy, as long as we treat everybody fair, then the little things don't matter. But that's not what Jesus said. When He talked about love and mercy and justice, He said, these you should have done, and not left the other undone. He didn't say, don't worry about tithing the little herbs from your garden. He didn't say that wasn't something to do, that you should just forget about it and don't do it. That wasn't what He was telling the Pharisees. What He pointed out to them was, you need to spend most of your energy on the big things, but not just leave the other things undone. Now, there are a lot of things in housework that are little things, but if you allow those little things to go undone for long periods of time, you have a mess on your hands. It's a little thing when you get the mail to throw away the junk mail. Toss it in the trash. Little thing. It's not hard to do. You're standing there with the mail. It's just as easy to drop it in the trash can as it is to sit it on the counter. And yet, how many times do we come back and a week of mail has piled up on the counter, and then we have to sort through it again because we, you know, well that's trash, and well, that's an outdated circular. And this newspaper was from last week, and I don't need that one anymore. Well, we spent a couple of days doing that kind of thing, only we didn't have to look at it because all of it was 10 years old or 20 years old, some of it. And so we just bought big boxes and threw them in the dumpster. But if you let those little things, I mean, oh, it's just one piece of paper. But that one piece of paper turns into two, turns into four, turns into eight, turns into 10, turns into 20, 50, 100, and before long you've got a box full, and before long you've got a whole room full. Those little things become big things. And so the idea, don't sweat the small stuff, can be dangerous if we carry it too far. And let me point out to you a few things to illustrate that. If 99.9% is good enough, is that, I mean, 99.9%, that's pretty good. If your kids got 99.9% in school, you'd be really excited. That'd be great. But what if 99.9% was good enough? Then the IRS will lose 2 million documents this year. That might be an improvement. I don't know. That might be less than they usually lose. But 2 million people's documents would be lost. 811,000 rolls of 35 millimeter film would be faulty. 22,000 checks would be deducted from the wrong bank account in the next 60 minutes, in an hour's time. Every hour, 22,000 checks would be taken out of the wrong bank account. If you've ever had that happen, and it is not real common, but sometimes that does happen. If you've ever had it happen, you go, wait a minute, what's this? 22,000 an hour. 1,314 phone calls will be to the wrong person. Not because of your fault, but because of the telecommunication services network would not put it to the right person. 12 babies would be given to the wrong parents every day. 268,000 defective tires and 14,000 defective personal computers would be shipped this year. 403,000 tax returns would be returned incorrectly. Over 2 million books with the wrong cover would be shipped in the next 12 months. Over 5.5 million cases of soft drinks would be flat. 2 plane landings every day in Chicago's O'Hare Airport would crash. 3,000 copies of tomorrow's Wall Street Journal would be missing one of the sections. 291 pacemaker operations would be botched this year. You start saying, well, that's pretty important. Now we're talking about pacemakers. I don't want to play around with that. Yeah, but, I mean, we were talking 99.9% of them were right. Of course, if you got one of the ones that wasn't, that'd be pretty important to you, wouldn't it? 880,000 credit cards would have the wrong card holder information on them. Over $9,000 would be spent on unsafe sporting equipment today. 55 ATMs would be malfunctioning in the next 12 months. 20,000 wrong prescriptions would be given out. 114,000 mismatched shoes. That's a lot. 761,000 CDs that won't play. 107 incorrect medical procedures. You know, you hear about that every once in a while. They amputated the wrong foot or something like that. Performed appendicitis surgery on somebody that didn't have appendicitis, took their appendix out, and they were supposed to do something else. You hear about that every once in a while, but 107 a day? Whew. You don't hear about that many. Because they don't strive for 99.9%. They strive for 100%. That extra 1/10 of a percent makes all the difference. But I have to ask us, in our Christian lives, what are we aiming for? When I was in school, you know, I would aim for just good enough. I don't know, maybe if you ever had any students in school, maybe that's what they aimed for, was just good enough. They, you know, I want to make an A, or I want to make a B, so just as long as I get just enough over to make that A or that B. And sometimes in Christianity, that's kind of what we're just aiming to, just good enough. But see, just good enough isn't good enough. The small stuff, the little stuff, can become big stuff. 99% is not good enough. 99.9% is not good enough. When we're looking at our Christian lives, we need to aim for 100%. Because even aiming at 100%, we're not going to hit it. But what if we were aiming at 90%? We'd probably come up in even lower. What if we were aiming for 50%? Well, we'd really come in low. Why not aim for perfection? And then if you come just a little short, at least you were aiming in the right spot. Problem we have sometimes is we don't aim right. And where we go depends on where we aim. All you hunters out there know that's true. If your sight's off just a little bit from here to that wall, it's not going to make much difference. But if you're shooting 100 yards, you're going to miss what you're shooting at. Just because that sight was off just a little bit. Over the course of a lifetime, going just a little bit off course can put you miles from where you want to be. We need to realize these little things are important. I'm going to look at four things
real quickly here.
We need to realize that a little faith needs to grow. Is a little faith enough? Well, Jesus did say, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it'll do it. He told the apostles that. That's a mustard seed. That's a little faith. But did you know that on four different occasions, Jesus condemned people, or at least admonished them for their little faith, for the lack of faith they had? Oh, they weren't completely faithless, but they didn't have enough faith. If you've got a little faith, you need to grow it. If you've got faith the size of the mustard seed, don't let that be enough. Get more faith. Grow in your faith. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. Jesus said that a little faith was just not good enough. Verse 30 says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He warned them, you're worrying about all these things. Trust God. Have some faith in God that He'll take care of you if He takes care of the grass of the field. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 26, they're out on the sea. He's about to calm the sea. They wake Him up. They're scared. We're going to drown. Verse 26, He says, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Then again, in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31, when Peter was attempting to walk on the water, and he began to sink. And don't make fun of Peter, because I bet you've never taken one step on the water. At least he took a few before he started to sink. But he began to sink, and he cried out. And in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31, Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him, and He said, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Why didn't you have enough faith? I mean, Peter, I'm right here in front of you, Peter. Why did you doubt me? You made it a couple of steps. That should have increased your faith. But instead, he looked around at the problems and his faith failed him. A little faith needs to grow. Matthew 16 and verse 8. One more time. Jesus points out the problems with little faith. They were arguing about bread. It's kind of interesting. Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with a couple fish and a few loaves of bread. Then He had fed 4,000 people with a few loaves and a little bit of fish. And it fed 9,000 people with barely enough to have made a couple of people a meal. And yet He'd fed 9,000 people with that. And now here they are, worried because they didn't have any bread with them. And so Jesus, in one of the Gospel accounts, rebukes them for that and says, don't you remember how I fed the 5,000? Don't you remember how I fed the 4,000? But then here He says in verse 8 of Matthew 16, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? You know, why are you worried about not having bread? You're with the fella who can make bread appear out of thin air. You know, Satan, when he tempted Jesus and said, turn these stones into bread, Jesus could have done it. It wouldn't have been hard for him. He probably wouldn't have even had to snap his fingers for it to happen. He could have just looked at it and, bread, there it is. He can do it. And yet here they are, they're worried because they didn't have any bread with them. Well, little faith needs to grow. For that matter, middle-sized faith needs to grow. For that matter, big faith still needs to grow. Faith can never be strong enough, never be big enough. Keep growing it as long as you live. But then we also need to realize that a little fault may ruin our character. Just a little fault. Oh, have you ever heard people say things like, you know, I like that fellow, but he's just always talking about himself. Or maybe they said, you know, she's a pretty good person, but she's just lazy. Or maybe they said something about, you know, he'll give you the shirt off his back, but he sure does drink a lot. You ever hear people say that? Well, what could have been a good person, this one flaw that they have, they become known for. That fella who people liked, but he drank a lot, pretty soon they start to just call him a drunk. And that good person who's just a little lazy, pretty soon all she's known for is being lazy. Or all he's known for is being lazy, either way. The fellow that, well, he's a nice fellow, but he just talks about himself all the time. Pretty soon, everybody gets to know that person as selfish and egotistical, and they don't like being around them anymore. That one little fault can get to the point where it destroys the rest of the character that that individual was trying to build. In Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 15, Solomon warns of the little foxes that destroy the grapevines. Because the grapevines are tender, and those little foxes will get in there and eat the grapes and destroy the vines, and you won't get your crop. You know, in that day and age, and I guess still today they have grapevines and vineyards, but in that day and age they would often put up a fence to keep out the bigger animals. And they might even have a watchman who would watch out for maybe something like a bear. That bears love all sorts of berries and things like that and fruits. And so that bear would get, that bear, big thing, think how much it could eat. But while they're watching for the bear, they might not notice a couple of little foxes slip in under a hole in the fence. And those little foxes could do as much damage when there's 10 or 15 of them in there as that one bear could do. And because they went unnoticed, they probably got away with doing even more damage and eating up even more of the crop, because the bear, I mean, it's hard to miss a big bear out there in your vineyard. I mean, bushes are moving, you know, vines are, he's shaking everything, and and you see him. Oh, I mean, he's a big guy out there. But those little foxes, you just don't notice them. And it's the same way with us and our character. The little things can ruin it. James chapter 3 and verse 5 says, the tongue is a little member, but it can kindle a great strife, James 3, 5 says. It can kindle a great strife, just that little member. And it talks about how those little things make a difference. It talks about just putting that little bit in the horse's mouth. And you can turn that whole great big horse wherever you want it to go with that bit in its mouth. It talks about the ship and just that little rudder. I mean, a rudder on a ship, I know it's less than 1% of that ship. Compared to the rest of the ship, it's so small. And yet you can turn the whole ship around with that little thing. Little things can make a huge difference. And so if a little fault can ruin your character, putting a little good behavior, a good habit in there can turn it back around. Starting with little things can make big differences. The third thing we want to notice is that we need to realize that a little sin can condemn us. Oh, it doesn't take a great big sin. We talk about little sins and big sins. It doesn't take murdering somebody to condemn you. A little bit can do it. God pays attention even to the little things. Not one little sparrow falls to the ground without Him knowing about it. He has all the hairs of our head numbered, and for some that's easier to number than others, but He has it all numbered, everybody's. One of the things that Jesus teaches is, when He says good to the servant, when He talks about the talents, the parable of the talents, He says, because you have been faithful in a little, you can have authority over 10 cities now. He gave that servant a little bit of a responsibility. And because that servant was faithful with that little bit, He trusted him with more. And then Jesus went on to say, if you can't be trusted with a little bit, you can't be trusted with something that belongs to somebody else for a little while, who's going to trust you with something of your own to be responsible for? In James 2:10, James says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You see, when you break the law, you're a lawbreaker. It doesn't matter which law you broke, you're still a lawbreaker. Now, I know in our society we've got misdemeanors and we've got felonies and then, you know, we've got, you know, a traffic ticket that you don't even have to go to court for. You just pay that little fine and go on about your business and things like that. But when it comes to God, what He calls a sin, He doesn't have fines and misdemeanors and felonies. No, he doesn't break it up like that. If He calls it a sin, it's a sin. That's it. And so, the lie is a sin just like the murder is a sin. The gossip is a sin just like practicing homosexuality is a sin. Now, I know that there are some things we think, well, no, that's not, this is way worse. God says, when He lists those that are going to be cast into the lake of fire, there are some things in there think, well, yeah, those people ought to be there. But then, ooh, that one kind of hits a little too close to home. I've done that a few times. I've told some lies. I've done this. I was disobedient to my parents. He lists some of those things. That I got angry and had wrath against somebody, and I was jealous once, and it starts to get a little closer to home then. We've got to beware, because the little unforgiven sin, see, it doesn't take 1,000 unforgiven sins, just one. Just one sin. No unforgiven sin will enter heaven. And if you've got an unforgiven sin, you need to get it taken care of. 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 18. You know, Ahab is known as one of the most wicked kings ever. Certainly in Israel's history. He was wicked. But it's interesting to watch his downfall. It began with a little thing. In 2 Kings 10:18, it says that Ahab worshipped Baal a little. I mean, he didn't just go out whole hog and do everything, but he began by worshiping him a little. But then that little became more and more, and pretty soon he had completely forgotten about the Lord and was worshiping Baal exclusively, and even hunting down the Lord's prophets and trying to kill them, or at least allowing his wife to use the power of the throne to do that. Whether he actually did it himself, seems to me, as you read about Ahab, that he was a pretty weak individual, not only morally, but just as far as his ability to have a strong will and stand up for anything. He just kind of went with whatever everybody around him said to do. Which is certainly not something you need in a leader. Not the king of a nation. But Ahab, wicked king, all began because he worshipped Baal a little. Those things start out small, but they grow. And then we want to notice, finally, the fourth thing that we need to realize is that a false teaching, a little false teaching, can poison the church. It doesn't take somebody coming in and saying, well, you know, Jesus wasn't really the Son of God. It doesn't take something like that. It doesn't take somebody coming in, you know, God doesn't exist. It doesn't take that kind of blatant lies and false teaching. It just takes a little bit. Well, you know, I bet you've heard this one before. You know, the Bible doesn't say we can't do it. Oh, that's a popular one. Oh, the devil loves to use that one. Well, the Bible doesn't say we can't. And so if the Bible doesn't say we can't, then we can go ahead and do it. It'll be okay. And how many things are introduced into churches all over the world with the philosophy, well, there's not a verse that says you can't do it. A little bit of false doctrine is all it takes. 1 Timothy. Paul warns Timothy how important the little things are and how important particularly in the area of doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 16, Paul tells Timothy, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you shall both save yourself and those that hear you. Pay attention to yourself, your example, the way you live your life as a Christian, your Christian living, and, he says, the doctrine. And if you take care of those two things, if you live right and teach right. See, the problem we have sometimes is we've got some folks, they live good. I mean, there are people all through the denominational world who are wonderful people. I mean, they give, they love, they're kind, they're great neighbors, they do all sorts of wonderful things. They're living good moral lives, living according to the teachings of the Bible in their daily lives. But they're not paying attention to the doctrine. But then on the other hand, we have some, and this is more common in the church a lot of times, we have some that are dogmatically strong on the doctrine. But then they go out here in their day-to-day lives and they don't live it. And they're hypocrites. Now, I'm not saying they don't have that in the denominational world either. I mean, they get that everywhere, that they don't care. And they've got some that don't care about either one. You know, they teach whatever and live however, and they don't care about anything. But the point Jesus makes is, that Paul makes to Timothy is, you pay attention to both those things. If you're living a great life, and even if you're helping a lot of people and doing all these wonderful works, isn't that what Jesus said? Some will say, did we not do this in your name and do that in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He said, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom, but he that does the will of my Father. Well, the will of the Father is twofold. One, how we live our daily lives. And two, how we teach and what we practice in worship. And those kinds of things. They're both important. And if we let a little in, we talked about the little fault that ruins the character and the little sin that can condemn us. Well, the little false teaching can poison the church. Can destroy a church. Look at the things that happened in some of the churches in the first century. The struggles they were having in Corinth because they had let a little false teaching get in there. They thought it was great to be so loving that they were proud of the fact that they were tolerant of a man who was living with his father's wife. Now, is it good to be loving? Yes. Is it good to be kind? Is it good to be tolerant of one another? Yes, we need to be tolerant of one another. But is it okay to tolerate sin? No. But see, they had taken some doctrine and gotten far off track with that doctrine. And it caused them problems and caused them to be on the verge of being condemned themselves because of what they were allowing. And in the letters to the seven churches of Asia, the problems that some of them were having as well. throughout the New Testament, read about they were having problems because of these little things that they allowed to grow and to fester. Jesus said it this way, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And that's why he warned the disciples to beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. Because their little twist of the doctrine, instead of having it right, just having it off just a little, will lead you far into false teaching. We've got to constantly be vigilant of the doctrine that's taught. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. Jesus said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." The story is told of Sam Walton when he was alive. And there was an up-and-coming executive in the Walmart organization. And he was going to promote this man to vice president of the company over one of the divisions. And to do that, they went to one of the cafeterias, like a Furs or Wyatt's cafeteria. And they went to this cafeteria, and as they were going through the line, this young executive took a couple of pats of butter and stuck them under his napkin so that he wouldn't have to... They're 5 cents a piece. He stuck them under his napkin so he wouldn't have to pay for them. Hid them. Instead of giving that man the promotion, he fired him. Because he said, if I can't trust him to pay for 2 pats of butter, I sure can't trust him to work in my company. Integrity matters. Little things matter. If you can't be trusted with something little, you know, if I give you a dollar and say, can you hold this for me until tomorrow, and you can't be trusted with that dollar, do you think I'm going to come back next week and give you $1,000 to hold for me? But see, we in our society have this backwards idea. We think, well, you know, yeah, he might nickel and dime you to death, but he'd never steal anything big. That's not true. Jesus said, if you're faithful with a little, then you'll be faithful with a lot. He said, but if you're unjust with a little, you'll be unjust with a lot. You see, that's part of trusting what God says about it instead of trusting what we might think. A poet once said, a pebble in the streamlet scant hath changed the course of many a river. A droplet on a tiny plant hath warped the giant oak forever. Little things can make a huge difference. We've got to realize that while the world around us may be saying, don't sweat the small stuff, we don't need to, of course, be so worried about it, so wrapped up in it that we can't live life, but we've got to realize the little things do matter. They matter to God, and they should matter to us. The problem comes when we spend so much time focused on little things that we ignore the big things. We can't do that either. Like Jesus told those Pharisees, these you should have done, and not left the other undone. We need to aim for the 100%. We need to aim for perfection. If you haven't been doing that, if you've just been doing good enough to get by, you may need to change that attitude today. Well, I know you need to change that attitude, but maybe you're ready to change that attitude today. You need to do that. You need to live fully and totally for God, not just part way, not just part time. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning for that, or if you need to become a Christian, now, it doesn't matter how good a life you're living. If you've never obeyed the gospel and aren't a Christian, it's all for naught. It's all in vain. Get in the game. Get started. Turn your life around by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Christ, the Son of God, and being buried with Him in baptism. If you have a need to respond this morning, please do so as we stand and as we